Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
Good morning. Now, I'm a 9:30 guy here at Activation, so I got to look around for a minute and put some faces. Oh, good looking bunch here too. That's always good. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm honored to be in the pulpit today. If this is your first time at Activation Church, let me go ahead now and say, come back next week. You'll hear the main man next week. And we are blessed with not only a fine pastor and teacher, but a good man. And I'm honored to be a part of this church and honored to be in the pulpit today to bring you something I believe will be an encouragement to you. Now, as Sean mentioned, I was a pastor for 25 plus years. And no, sir, I did not start at 12. I know I look young. And we are checking IDs for that young adult ministry, folks. So when you show up for it, we'll be looking to make sure you qualify for that age bracket. But I pastored for 25 plus years, and I've been a stand-up comedian for 3 years next month. Started doing comedy when I was a child, probably, but started doing it full-time about 2 years ago, and I've done 297 shows in the last 2.5 years, and I'll be right here on March 2nd at 5 o'clock on a Sunday at Activation Church doing comedy, and I invite you to come out, be a part. Might do a little bit right now. But let me tell you this morning as we start, we're going to have a good time. I've got a nice word for you. I believe I got something that will encourage you. And I always get asked at comedy shows after the show, I always have people approach me and they say, and it's all until today after the 9:30 service, it's always a guy. It's always a man, and he'll say, and I've done comedy for an hour, hour and a half. He'll say, hey, I got a joke for you. And they'll tell it to me. And it's normally horrible, brother. I mean, it ain't funny. But you grin, thank you. And then they say, you can use that if you want to. And I said, thank you so much. I think I'll hold off. But I'm going to tell you one that I actually use for today that a fella told me. And he and his wife attended one of my shows. And they had been married 62 years. Come on, somebody. Man, that is a long time. And I asked them during the show what were some of the keys to their success. And he shared some very godly principles and heartfelt things. And then after the show, he said, hey, can I tell you a joke? I said, sure. And he said, do you know what the shortest sentence in the English language is? I said, no, sir. He said, I. That's okay. You know what the longest sentence is in the English language? No, sir. He goes, I do. I was like, that'll work. And I said, and his wife sitting there grinning, she goes, he loves me. He loves me. So we're in love with one another up in here today, and we're going to have a great time. And if you're watching online, a big God bless you wherever you are today. We're excited you're taking some time to be encouraged in God's word with God's people. And let's pray together before I start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a glorious day. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the love that you have for us. And we thank you for this wonderful church that we're a part of today. Father, I ask you to speak to me and speak through me. And let us all have ears to hear and hearts to receive the word of God today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about authentic relationships. Now, when I talk about this today, we're not just talking about marriage and family. We are, but we're also looking at our friendships. We're looking at our church relationships, our co-workers. Listen, all of us have relationships in our life, and we're going to talk about how to be authentic in those things and also some different types of relationships that we face. Now, to get started, man, I'm just going to say what an authentic relationship is. The word authentic means genuine, real, being actually what is claimed. Now, think about that a minute. For something to be authentic, it is actually what it's claimed to be. Now, that eliminates 98% of TikTok right there. Social media, because we know things get blown out of proportion, this or that. But Listen, I grew up, I'm looking around. This, I don't know what it is about this 11 o'clock. Y'all are a younger bunch, and that's 9:30 people. I said, most of us 9:30 crowd grew up in the 1900s. Come on, somebody. I see some younger folks here, but for us folks who are a little bit older, listen, there were things going on when I was a kid that sounded too good to be true. And I remember on the back of a comic book I had a Superman comic book, brother. I wish I still had it. I'd sell it, buy a Mercedes or something. But I had this comic book, and on the back it said, send in $1.95 plus shipping and handling and get some authentic seahorses. Add water, and they'll grow into seahorses. I lived on Hog Jowl Road, Chickamauga, Georgia. I'd never seen a seahorse, but I wanted one. I sent my money in. They showed up at the house. I watered them. I got nothing. Nothing. I was so disappointed. My daddy said, why did you believe that? I said, it said on there, authentic, genuine, real. And I thought, well, my kids will be smarter than that. They weren't. We're at the beach, and they hit their allowance money and bought hermit crabs and thought they would last forever. But they said they were authentic. They were genuine, that they would live till we got home. They didn't live till we got back to the condo. I mean, they were history. There's a lot of things that sound too good to be true. Jesus is not one of them. He is good. And these relationships we're going to talk about, I just want to start in, if you've got your Bible or you're watching online, if you'll turn in your Bible, let's look at Matthew, and let's look at Matthew 22, and we're going to start in verse 34. Matthew 22, 34. And it reads, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. Well, the first thing I thought when I read that is a comedian where it says, love your neighbor as yourself, that Jesus never lived in an HOA. Come on, somebody. Because if you live in one or have before, you know it makes life a little difficult at times. And then I started reading and I saw these Sadducees. Now, we're fortunate at Activation Church, we don't have any Sadducees here. Now, in my 25 years of pastoring, I pastored a few Sadducees. And I just refuse to be one of those people that doesn't have joy. Come on. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. That's, you know, it's available to me. But what I learned in this passage, for you guys under 25, grab a hold of this, because it took me till I was 40 to remember this and learn this. What I learned first of all in this passage was the Sadducees questioned Jesus. Then the Pharisees did the same thing. And at about 40 years of age, I learned to stop questioning Jesus. And trust. Read his word and trust. I heard a minister say the other day, who had been in the ministry for 85 years, big Bible scholar, seminary professor, all those things, and they were interviewing him, and they said, what would you tell your younger self if you could? He said to the man, you're probably not going to like the answer, but he says, I would tell my younger self to know God's word and to pray. Those two things will take you farther than any degree, any experience, and any education. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but he says, know the word of God and spend time praying. Now, we're going to talk about these relationships and how to have authentic, genuine, actual, what is claimed, relationships in our life. And I think about that. So I've got to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. And that word soul, we can say mind, will, and emotions. We cover it all when we're talking about this. We've got to love God that way, and then we've got to love other people that way. And the first thing we have to address is, how do we do that? For you and I to be able to love other people like that, we have to first be confident in God. We've got to love ourselves. Because listen, I'm not going to pick on anybody. There's things that I'm not happy about in my life. There's things that I've done wrong. There's mistakes I've made. And you can beat yourself up, but I encourage you to not. What do you do? How do you get confident? It's not in yourself. It's in Him. Amen? It's being confident in the Word of God and what He's done for you and me. So what I want you to see this morning, to have authentic relationships in your marriages, with your children, with your friends, with your family, you have to first know who you are in Christ. You've got to address that. And one of the ways, and listen, I grew up in Chickamauga, Georgia. I lived on Hog Jowl Road, brother. I mean, that's country right there. You don't get much more country than that. And my sweet pap was the only person in my life that I saw read the Bible on a daily basis. And I remember asking him one time about his walk with the Lord, and he said, the best advice I can give is to be quick to repent and quick to recover. I said, okay, and I thought about that a little bit, guys. And what I want you to see is repentance is admitting it before God and quitting it. Man, there's things in our life, and I heard a man say one time that sin makes cowards out of good men. So we have to be at that place in our life where we confess our sins. He's faithful and He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. Nope, all of it, right? So here we are, we stand before Him, we're clean before God, and then we have to go out these doors and we have to make a difference in the lives of other people. And we're going to talk about some of those people today that we run into as we're trying to develop these authentic relationships. But to do that, turn in your Bible or look it up on your phone, Proverbs 3. Let's look at Proverbs 3, and as we read that, that was the first scripture. I became a believer March 4th of 1988. I prayed to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Big Rich, where were you? I was at a friend's house watching a Braves game. How'd that happen? Well, when I say friend, it was a friend that was a girl. And her parents' house. And we're watching the ball game, and they were all Christian people and serving God, and I wasn't. And the seventh inning stretch came, and they turned the TV off right in the middle of the game. And they circled around me, and they said, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And I said, oh, yeah, hell. Well, don't you want to do something about that? I guess. And they wouldn't leave me alone. And I was wanting to know the score of the game. So I prayed the prayer to get them to shut up. And then they rejoiced and praised the Lord. And I thought, this is the biggest bunch of duds I've ever met in my life. And I got in the car and I went home. And for the first time in my life, I experienced the love and also the conviction of the way I was living. Did everything change for me in that moment? My confession of faith got me there. But for the first time in my life, I thought, I want to be a better person. I want to be happy. I want to have purpose. And it drew me into God's Word. And within 3 months, I was a youth pastor, which is insane to let somebody do. But they did. And 3 months after that, I was working in a church full time. And that was for the next 25, 26 years of my life. And I say that to you today because authentic, genuine relationships, they don't have qualifications other than, yes, Lord. There's not a test. There's not a quiz. It's yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then the doors will open. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own your own understanding. Acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. My advice to me and to you and I today and those watching online is you've got to trust in the Lord first. With what? With all your heart, your mind, your will, emotions. Man, your mind will tell you stuff it don't need to be telling you. You've got to get that mind in line. You know, Jesus died at Golgotha, and that's literally translated the place of the skull. That's where you and I have to die, the place of the skull. In our thinking, we got to remind ourselves, oh, we're not that person anymore. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. We want to have friends, we got to show ourselves friendly. We want to have authentic relationships, we've got to trust in the Lord. Lean not on our own understandings and submit and acknowledge Him. And then the next thing we do is simple, but it'll cost you everything sometimes, is we've got to walk it out. He said, I'll make your path straight. He didn't say you and I have to make the path straight. You know what we do? We just keep marching. We just walk. And then things open up for us. And then we don't try to take credit for it. We ain't that bright. God will do supernatural things. And we go, well, I was just walking. I walked right into my purpose. That pretty woman you walked in here with today, you walked right into her. That fella, that handsome hunk you came in here with, you walked right into him. Those beautiful children you have, listen, you walked right into it. All the friendships you have, you were just walking. You were just submitted to God, trusting Him. You weren't leaning on what you thought. Let's be honest, fellas. It wasn't your pickup line that got her. Because none of us got one that good. It was the fact they saw something in you that most of the time, women will see something in you that you don't even see in yourself because they trust in the Lord with all their heart. They're not leaning on your, look at him, bless him. No, they're, oh, that's my mighty man of God right there. That man right there, boy, oh, he's a good provider. He's this, he's that. They start calling things that be not as though they are sometimes. And they trust and they walk. And that's what we have to do with our children. Listen, when I was a little boy, we went to church a little bit. And then we didn't go for a long time. When I was a teenager, I went to the Methodist church. Big Rich, why? Did the Lord lead you? No, my neighbor invited me. And she was hot, boy. And she was older. Her, Mrs. Robinson. No, I'm teasing. That wasn't her name. For you old people, you'll know who that is. She said, you ought to come to the youth group. I said, I'm in. I got over there and, you know, I didn't know nothing. The preacher was preaching out of Proverbs. I couldn't find it in my Bible. After church, he's calling out scripture and I'm looking for Proverbs and he's done. 28 minutes later, I'm still looking for Proverbs. I found Proverbs. After church, I said, it's over there by the Psalms. I didn't know nothing about the Word of God. Nothing. But then I started reading. I started enjoying it. I started embracing it. And the next thing you know, I started leaning not on my own understanding and acknowledging Him. And that's what's amazing about a relationship that's authentic with God, of course, but then even with each other, we don't have to lean on what we know. We can trust. Man, you know what I'm talking about. And there's folks, I get tickled like in... I don't know about you 11 o'clock folks, but us 9:30 folks, we're kind of creatures of habit. I sit in the same section every week. One time I had to sit over here through my whole day. My neck, I'd go to the chiropractor, my neck was out of line, you know. And one guy would say, I was praying for you, I didn't see you here. Hey, I'm over here. I'm over here on the other side. And I sit right, and I don't come early except today. You know, people knew I was speaking today because I was 30 minutes early. I normally walk in while the time, I didn't know we did trivia. I get here with about 9 seconds left. And I slip in like a thief in the day. You know, I slip in because I came early one time and I didn't know where to sit because the people I sit around weren't here yet. And I sat down, I thought, this don't feel right. And I got my spot. And I've become acquaintances with some of those folks. I've become friends with some of those folks. And I laughed. One of the fellas that I sit by a lot, over Christmas, he wasn't here one Sunday. He came in late. Y'all remember we did that live nativity scene over here for the kids? Y'all remember that? Y'all did that at 11, I guess. We did it in the morning. And He said, "What did I miss?" I said, "Well, Pastor asked for volunteers for that live nativity. So I signed you up." He goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah, me too. I'm in too." He says, "Well, what are we doing?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be a wise man. You're going to be a donkey." But I didn't say that. I used the Old Testament term, you know. And he's like, he started laughing. His wife's laughing. And I knew. I said, "That's my people over there. That's my section. There's some people at 9:30 that won't sit in front of me because I have to comment every once in a while. Because the Lord will give me comedy right in the middle of the preaching. You know, and I'll find things that inspire me and things that I want to talk about later. But that's my folks. Now, we're all a part of the body. But those folks at 9:30 on that side of the room, they've become the people that I've gotten to know. And that's okay, and that's healthy. And I want you to see today, to have authentic relationships, we do have to treat other people like we want to be treated. And in doing that, like I said earlier, we got to be confident. And confidence will empower you and I to be able to love other people. Let's face it, there's some people that are tough to love. Don't look over there at him, sister. I mean, you know, but there are some folks that are a little tough, and confidence will empower us to love other people, forgive other people, and have authentic relationships. And to have that repentance, it starts at godly sorrow. Godly sorrow will lead us to repentance. Now, I want to take a moment and talk about the expectations in relationships. The best advice I can give is don't have any. You know, but we do. It's normal. And the Greek word for expect means what will probably occur. What will probably occur. So I'm going to give you a passage. If you'll turn in your Bible to Matthew 13, and we're going to look at Matthew 13, verses 3 through 8. And as I read them to you, I want you to think about the expectations that we can see here. "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil." That's what you and I want. "Where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." I want you to look at three types. There's a lot of relationships that we could talk about, but I'm going to talk about three types of people in our lives. And before I do that this morning, I want to state, now this isn't, don't Google this, or don't, you know, this isn't like, "Thus saith the Lord." This is my honest opinion in my 56 years of being on the planet. The two most misused words in the English language are love and friend. How so, Big Rich? Well, I'll do shows on occasion, comedy shows at bars. Just look and make sure I don't recognize him. No, I'm teasing. You know, don't get upset because, you know, it's the same show. I don't go in there and I'm not any different than what I am at a show I do at the church. I might curse at the church show a little more than I do at the bar. No, I'm playing. I don't. I'm just me. But I'll do those bar shows, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm loading up my sound equipment. I'm getting my T-shirts and merch put in a car, and here comes some old boy that's had about 19 drinks in him, and he's like, "I love you, Big Rich. I love you, man." He don't know me. "Can I have one of them hats?" Oh, he's a taker. Because, see, in life, we all have takers. We don't want to be one. But we have them. That's one of the relationships. That's that soil we're talking about where you do something good, whoosh, sucks it right up. Dries a bone. Takers will do that. My advice to you and I is we ask the Lord to identify who the takers are. And if you're sitting around and say, "No, Big Rich, I don't have any takers in my life," then ask somebody if you're a taker. No, I'm saying you got to look, because takers, they're you don't need them in your life, but they're evident. Takers will, you don't even have to define it, they take. they take from you. Another type of relationship, and this one's okay, and this is where most of us are, acquaintances. An acquaintance is someone whom you know. You just don't know them that well. You guys, if I see you out, let me look. I knew a few of you already. Some I'll know now. You're an acquaintance. We worship together, but I don't know you and you don't know me. We have a lot of acquaintances. The good news is an acquaintance can turn into a friend, but a taker never will. And you've got to identify who are the takers in my life. Who are the acquaintances? And you already know who your friends are. The Bible says a friend will stick closer than a brother. The Bible teaches us that a friend will love you at all times. Proverbs tells us that a gossip will separate close friends. Or I'm going to use the word a taker. Man, a taker can separate you. Don't allow takers in your life. Love them. Bless them. If you're from the South, you're going to know this statement. If you're not, I'm going to pull the curtain back today for you. You ever heard bless your heart? If they say that to you a lot, you might be a taker. You know, because bless your heart's one of them code words for what a moron, what a nut, what an idiot, it's not a compliment when you hear bless your heart. And I've learned in my life when I'm trying to examine and who's a taker, who's an acquaintance, and who's a friend, I've got to take time in God's word and be confident in myself, in Him, so that I'm not a taker. So that I'm not simply an acquaintance to someone God brings into my life to be a friend to. Now, I have a handful of friends. And I have a life full of acquaintances. And that's okay. And things will come in seasons. My best friend in the world, I've known since ninth grade. And that's a while back, brother. I mean, that was a while. But we have stayed connected. We've stayed friends. We talk 350 days a year. Maybe for a moment on the phone. We see each other maybe 4 times a year, maybe 6, because it varies because of distance. But I'm going to tell you, I went through a hardship, and I'll just be honest with you. In my life, I was married 25 plus years. I was pastoring a church in Dalton, Georgia. I had been working in churches that were mega churches, and then I've planted churches, and I had what you would look at as the dream. I had the 2.5 kids. No, I had 3 kids, healthy, blessed, good boys, little athletes, little good students, a wonderful family. Our marriage dated 3.5 years, married 24 and a half. In the midst of all of it, I woke up one day and realized it was not going to be any longer. And I'm not here to get you down. I'm here for you to see when my life went from the mountaintop to the valley, there were no takers when you're in the valley. The takers show up when things are good. When I'm pastoring a church and I'm on TV and I'm on TBN and I'm on my local stations and I'm preaching the gospel, inviting preachers to town and inviting folks in, man, there's takers everywhere when things are good. But when you face hardship, you're going to find out who your friends are. And my encouragement to you today is, you know, He's God on the mountain, as the old song says, and in the valley. I'm going to be a friend when you're up high, and I'm going to be a friend and help you when you're in that struggle. And that's what we're looking for. To be authentic, we've got to trust. We've got to lean not on our thinking. We acknowledge God, and we keep walking. Man, I have a remnant of friends, a group of people who remain loyal even in a time of hardship. Jesus took 11 friends and one taker, and He changed the world. So you don't need a big group of people in your circle to make an impact. You know, we did the video on the food pantry. That was a small group of people right now, but they're making a big impact. Man, and some of you watched that and you missed it. You got hungry. You're like, oh boy, I'm getting hungry watching that. They're helping people that don't, well, those people could do something better. Listen, not everybody's a taker. We can't assume that everybody's a taker. We have to assume that we are going to be a blessing to other people. We're going to bless somebody that doesn't know how to bless themselves. And in that time of blessing them, we're also going to train them, teach them, equip them. One of the greatest joys in my life, when I pastored and we had a thrift store and we did all this food pantry stuff and all that, I had a lady show up one day to the thrift store and she brought a check and she asked to see me. I had no idea who she was. They call me. We had like five thrift stores. They call me and say, can you be over here? And I'm like, yeah, give me a couple hours. No, you need to come right now. Okay, I get over there, and it was this woman, and she had a check, and she says, I came in here with nothing, and you fed me. I came in here with no job, and you clothed me. I came in here with no skills, and you trained me, and you taught me how to fill out a job application. The people here prayed for me, and now I have a job, and now I have a career, and now I want to give back, and I want to pay it forward. See, when you invest in other people, they're not all takers, amen? There's a lot of people that will see that, and they'll be good ground. They'll be good soil, and that's what we have to stay encouraged in. When you're on the mountaintop, the takers will flock. Acquaintances will rejoice with you, but your friends can be there too. As we close up today, I want you to think about the fact that wherever you are in this life, wherever you are in your walk, what kind of friend are you to those that you're close to? When I say friend, in your mind, who do you think of? Who comes to mind? And in my life, and I don't know about y'all, and I'm just speaking on my experience. I remember when I got married. Remember the blizzard of 93? I got married the Saturday after it. That ought to have been a sign from the Lord. No, I was like, and the roof fell in at the reception hall. And the roof fell in at the rehearsal dinner. I should have took that as a sign and ran. No, I'm teasing. I went through that wedding and I looked and I had my best man was my father because he was the best man I ever knew. And my groomsman, I remember my bride says, you got to get seven. Because I have seven. I thought, good Lord, seven? I can think of, I'm an only child. That eliminates, I don't have no brothers. And my cousins are all crazy. Well, not all of them. Some of them are watching. Love you. But I thought, who am I going to put up there? And they were people that were in my life. Gosh, 30, you know, do the math, 1993. None of those folks are in my life anymore. They were acquaintances. One of them was a taker. But they're not there. God has brought people into my life. Some are long term, like my friend from ninth grade. Others I've found since I've been doing comedy. Others I've found in my church, in seasons of my life. In the seasons of your life, when you show yourself friendly, you're going to find friends. You're going to see them. And that's the authentic relationships that are going to be there for you. Listen, somebody comes up to you, you can tell. I remember as a young believer, a young minister, I did something stupid. What was it, Big Rich? Tell us. I ain't telling y'all. It was stupid. And I asked God to forgive me, and he did. And that's what we have to remember. When we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I remember talking to one of the men that was a leader in our church and somebody I admired and I respected. And he prayed for me. And when I left there, I didn't feel different. I still felt sad. I felt beaten down. I went into church the next Sunday. I walked in, kind of had my head down, Mike. I was just, you know, there. Didn't want to talk to people. I just kind of, he walked up to me and he hugged me and he brought me in close and he said, God forgave you, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, why don't you look like it? Why don't you act like it? I was having a pity party. We ain't got time to have pity parties, church. We don't have time. There's a hurting world out there. There's people in your realm of influence that need love. They need encouragement. There's folks that need what we have to give, and we've got to stay confident in who we are. We've got to trust in the Lord, and we've got to give it to them. Now, the thing that makes this even better is we don't have to do anything but say yes. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be ordained. You don't have to be a seasoned believer. If you want to grow in your faith, go find a new convert and ask them if they want to have a Bible study. They'll drive you crazy. They'll ask you so much stuff you got to look up. You'll go, my Lord, they'll get you hungry. Those new converts are like that. Why? Because it's new. It's my gosh, I didn't know. I was at the First Baptist Church in Chickamauga, and I showed up. I'd been saved about three weeks. I showed up at the deacon's meeting. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be there. I showed up with a notebook with about 14 questions. And the pastor said, let them rip. And I started asking questions about the Bible. And those dudes were sitting there going, good Lord, what have we got into? Who turned him loose, you know? And some of them told me later, they said, you scared the heaven into us. I mean, my Lord, we had to start getting equipped and studying. And, you know, one guy said, man, I had to take the cellophane off my Bible and get serious, you know? But that's what happens when you get something in you that you can't contain. And that's what's happening here. We are blessed to be a part of a church that has that type of spirit in it. And you are those kind of people. So today, I just want to encourage you. Look for the authentic relationships that are in your life.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.